Appendix A.
Commonly asked questions. By now, you are no doubt comfortable with the general operations of your Braille light. However, what if something goes wrong? So often, manuals tell you how to do things, but not how to fix them. What if you hit the wrong key during a procedure? What if you issue a command, then need to cancel it before it finishes doing something? What if, horror of horrors, your file disappears? And finally, what if any of these things happens at 3 o'clock in the morning when you really can't reach for the phone to get help? All these what-ifs are real possibilities whenever you have a computer. It's a simple fact of life. For most of us, though, reaching for the phone, even though it may mean a toll call, is easier and less scary than trying to deal with the problem ourselves. Our purpose in this appendix is to show you that many potentially devastating problems really aren't, that you just might be able to solve them yourself after all. And think how good you'll feel for having done so. We reached into our files for the most commonly asked questions of the technical support staff and list them here with possible solutions to try before panicking. Of course, we are here if you should really need us, but chances are when you call already having tried to solve the problem yourself, we won't have to walk you through the basics and your phone will be smaller. We're not trying to discourage you from calling for help, and in fact, we invite your feedback, but we are confident that we can serve you better if you can first troubleshoot the problem yourself. Incidentally, the solutions suggested below come directly from those of you brave enough to challenge the murky waters of troubleshooting. We commend you for helping all of us. And now, on to the questions. Telecommunications questions. 1. How do I connect my Braille light to my brand name, printer, computer, or modem? You must connect the right cables and match telecommunications settings between your Braille light and the other device. We offer a wide range of cables which connect the Braille light to the most commonly used computers, printers, and modems. For example, there are cables for the PCX2 and PCAT series of IBM PC and compatibles, as well as cables for the Apple family of computers and printers. In addition, we offer the serial-to-parallel converter cable for use with parallel printers, although since your Braille light has a parallel cable, you won't need this particular converter to link your unit to a parallel printer. Refer to Section 13.1 for general information and to Appendix C for technical information about cables. The Braille light is preset with the most commonly used telecommunications settings. To see how they are set, check them out from the status menu. For a full discussion of these settings, see Section 13.2. For a listing of the default settings, refer to Appendix B. 2. I connect my cable to my modem. It fits, but I cannot communicate. The cable may fit, but you may need a null modem adapter to talk to the modem. 3. I am connected to my modem with a null modem adapter. When I try to communicate, I hear, waiting on serial device. Carrier detect must be changed. It is low and must be made high. Try AT ampersand C1 from a PC, then AT ampersand W to save the configuration. 4. My Braille light cable fits into my PC serial port, but it will not communicate. If the cable that comes with your Braille light fits into your port with no adapters, then you probably have it in the parallel port. Serial ports are usually male, so you'll need a gender adapter. 5. I hear file is full, and I'm hooked up to a computer, a bulletin board, with my modem, or a printer. If you're in a mode of duplex, where material is stored and or echoed back from the other device, and therefore appended to the end of your currently open file, you might run into a file is full error message. Turn off the serial port and check the file's contents, deleting any extraneous text. Also, it might help to change the duplex or echo feature of the device in question. 6. My Braille light doesn't speak the last character it received from the PC or bulletin board to which I'm connected with my modem. You need to set the interactive timeout parameter, normally set to 0, or off. Set this parameter from the status menu. Each device requires specific signals, for example, carriage returns and stasis, in order to speak data they have received from another device. Occasionally, the final signal sent from an external device is not what the Braille light needs to see. For these cases, the Braille light produces a signal of its own. The interactive timeout parameter sets the amount of time that the Braille light waits before generating the signal. Enter the status menu with an ST sign cord and write an X. You hear something like interactive timeout 0, which means off. You can change the length of time the Braille light waits before issuing the signal to speak the data it has received from 1 to 255 tenths of a second. So setting it to 10 means that the Braille light waits 1 second before speaking data it has received. Internet connection question. 1. What do I need to connect my Braille light to the internet? First, you'll need to connect your Braille light to an external modem through its serial port. The cable that comes with your unit should connect to most Hayes-compatible modems. Make sure the modem and Braille light are talking at the same baud rate before trying to do anything else. Next, it's important to have the right telecommunications software in order to make the connection to the internet work smoothly. If you are already familiar with Blazy's product called BrailleTerm, or are using it successfully to connect your Braille light and modem for other types of services, it will also work for connections to the internet. The internet works best with VT100 emulation, so you'll need to set up your telecommunications package for that type of emulation, or you might try another package we offer called VTerm. Upload the software into your unit and run it from the Files menu or Options menu. See Chapter 13 for details on uploading external programs, and Chapter 16 for how to run them. Call Blazy Engineering for further information on how to obtain BrailleTerm and VTerm. 2. What kinds of files can I download to my Braille light from the internet? It's important you understand that the only program files that run on your unit are those which have been specifically written for the Braille light. Such program files end with a DNS extension. You'll be able to download text files into your unit as well, but files written for word processors like MS Word for Windows and even WordPerfect 5.1 and 6.0 for DOS won't be readable. If you do have text files, or say, an article from a website that you want to download, you'll be able to transfer them to your Braille light very easily, using one of the telecommunications programs we've mentioned above. However, if you want to download a group of files that is compressed into a single zip file, in other words, a file with a ZIP extension, you'll need to uncompress them into your home directory on your internet provider's system with their file compression utility. Then you'll be able to transfer them into your unit one at a time, or as a group using wildcard characters, depending on how the files are named. Check with your service provider if you're unclear about how to zip and unzip files on their system. The Bell Lite does not have a file compression utility of its own. Printing questions. 1. When I try to print, my printer won't move to the next line. Add line feeds is off. If you turn this setting on, a line feed character is sent to the printer with every line that is printed. See section 15.1.2. 2. When I try to print, the Bell Lite says waiting on serial device. The printer is probably offline. Turn the printer online. If this doesn't work, connect a mini tester in between the Bell Lite and the printer. The mini tester comes with Blazy's interface kit. Call for more information. 3. When I try to print, the Bell Lite says OK, but nothing happens. First, check whether the telecommunications settings on both devices match. Check baud rate, parity, data bit, stop bit, and handshaking. Next, try turning on add line feed. Some printers need a line feed character with every line, or they'll refuse to cooperate. Next, check the pins in the serial port of both devices to see if they are bent or broken. 4. When I print either to a PC or a printer, I get garbage, mainly X's, T's, and at signs. Most likely baud rates don't match. Check the baud rate on both devices. 5. When I print, my document is missing characters. This is probably a handshaking problem. The Bell Lite's handshaking may be different from the printer's. 6. I can't send or receive files from my disk drive, and I am properly connected to it. If I press a T chord, I don't hear the disk drive message before the prompt. Enter S to send or R to receive. And if I press an S chord from within my file, I hear storage device missing. Check that the disk drive is turned on. If turning it on does not solve the problem, then turn the Bell Lite off and on again. 7. I'm connected to a computer or bulletin board through my modem, but on my Bell Lite, I can't see the text I'm hearing from the other device on the Bell display. You probably have serial tracking turned off. If you move your display with the advanced bar, you'll see the text from the other device. However, if you'd like the display to move as information comes into your Bell Lite from the other device, turn serial tracking on from the status menu. Bring up the status menu with an ST sign chord and press a T chord to jump to the settings. Write a Y. Exit the status menu with an E chord. From now on, information coming in from the other device will force the display to zap along too rapidly for you to read the information as it's being transmitted, but you'll know when the other device has stopped sending, because your display will stop moving. You'll be at approximately the last 18 characters worth of information the other device has sent. This setup is good if you're familiar with the menus on a bulletin board, for example, and only need to see the prompt that ends a long display of menu choices. 8. I'm connected to a computer or a bulletin board through a modem and have serial tracking turned on, so I can see and hear everything that's coming into the Bell Lite. I can tell when the device has stopped sending because the display stops moving, and I see about the last 18 characters worth of text that's been transmitted. But on my Bell display, I can't see what I'm typing when I'm responding to a prompt from the computer or bulletin board. You probably have keyboard tracking turned off, so that the Braille display's cursor, .78, is not moving as you type. Bring up the status menu with an ST sign cord and jump to the setting with a K cord. Write a Y to turn on keyboard tracking. Exit the status menu with an E cord. From now on, what you type should be displayed as you write it. Since you also have serial tracking on, though, when information comes into your Braille light from the other device, your Braille display will zap you to approximately the last 18 characters worth of information sent by the other device. If you don't want this to happen, but you still want to see what you're typing as you write, turn serial tracking off. Bring up the status menu and press a T chord to jump to the settings. Write an N and enter the status menu with an E chord. Now, you should be able to see what you're writing on the display and read information coming in from the other device by tapping the advance bar. 9. I'm connected to a computer or bulletin board through a modem, but whatever I type is doubled, even though information coming into my Braille light is fine. Your telecommunications program and some modem let you turn off echoing of your keystrokes. You're actually not transmitting double characters to the other device. It's just that it thinks you want to see each character it got from you, and so it echoes it back. It'll probably be quicker and easier to turn off echoing from the Braille light side than from the PC side of the link. What you want to do is change your duplex to full. Enter the status menu with an ST sign cord and jump to the setting by writing a D. Then write an F to select full duplex. Enter the status menu with an E chord. From now on, what you type should look fine. Crash and recovery questions. 1. All of my files have become gibberish, and when I go into the files menu, the titles are incorrect. This rarely happens to our newer revisions, but this does sound like a crash. In other words, there may be something wrong with your unit, but it may be fixable. Try a warm reset. If that does not work, you must do a cold reset. The I chord. You do a warm reset to return all Braille light settings to their default values, except for the battery timer and voice configurations, and without loss of data. Voice configurations are retained, but your unit reverts to voice 1. When you press an FOR sign, chord, .123456 chord, the Braille light says, "Warm reset, please verify." When you press a second FOR sign cord, it says OK. Caution. Do not use the warm reset within another command or while data are being transmitted. You can also do a warm reset when you turn on the Braille light. To issue the command, turn off the Braille light. Then hold down all 7 Braille light keys as you turn on the power. Once power is on, continue to hold down the keys for about another second. Use the cold reset procedure only as a last resort. All settings are reset to their default, and all files you may have created, as well as their data, might be lost. For about 2 seconds, press an I chord as you turn on the power to the Braille light. You hear questions about initializing the system files, folders, and flash. Eventually, you hear the prompt, "Delete all data in file areas, enter wire N." If you answer yes, it says, "Are you sure? Enter wire N," to force you to think. If you still answer yes, you hear beep, while the Braille light cleans up things. Your data is irrevocably lost. This process ensures that no one can recover your personal data. A good idea when exchanging your Braille light for an upgrade or a repaired machine. 2. When I turn on my Braille light, It gives the correct message, but every time I press a chord or any key, it either says space or file is write protected. You may have write protected the currently open file and don't remember having done so. Get into the files menu and press an I chord to hear the status of the currently open file. If it is write protected, unprotected with a U chord. Or you may be in one-handed mode. Hold down .3 as you power on. If that still does not fix it, hold down all 7 keys when you power up to perform a warm reset. C. When I hit a chord, the braille light resets, saying braille light ready. This rarely happens, but a warm reset easily fixes the problem. 4. My braille light turned on and is dead. No warning. A warm reset easily fixes this problem, but it might mean that you've completely drained the built-in rechargeable battery. Use the Braille Light AC adapter to plug it into an outlet and allow it to recharge. As long as you leave it plugged into an outlet, you should be able to use it without any problem. Once it's fully charged, in about 2 hours, you should be able to resume using it on battery power. 5. I have deleted a file, or portion of a file, accidentally. Is there any way to get it back? This depends on whether you've done anything since your deletion. If you have not created another file or performed another deletion, there is hope. Here are a couple of scenarios. First case. You've deleted text from the current cursor position to the end of the file. Recall that the clipboard is the trash can. The text you just deleted is there, or at least the first 4,096 characters of it. The rest of the text, if there was more than one Braille Light page worth of text, is in another place in the Braille Light memory. Remember our analogy to the binder. It's as if the Braille Light put the first page of the text you deleted into the clipboard, and the rest of the pages at the back of the binder. To bring them back where they belong into your currently open file, first press an ING sign chord .346 chord. C. To copy the contents of the clipboard back into your currently open file, thus recovering the first page worth of text. Then, from the file's menu, write an FOR sign .123456. The Braille Light says, recover file, enter wire N. Entering Y should recover the rest of the text into your currently open file. Go to the end of the file and check the location of the cursor, as well as how much room there is left. If you see numbers that don't make sense or unwanted text, it probably means that you've recovered extraneous text. Press .1 chord and .23 chord to move backward through the file until you find the text that should have been the end of the file. Delete from that point forward to eliminate this junk from your file. Second case. You've just deleted the last file in your files list. You can recover the file from the files menu using a similar procedure to the one just described. But you now have no file to fill with text. So the first step is to create a file with the appropriate number of pages you threw away. If you're not sure of this number, then start with a one-page file. You may have to keep making the file bigger a page at a time, and then performing the recover operation repeatedly until you have recovered the complete file. Suppose you have a two-page file called junk you've just deleted by mistake. When you move through your files list, it just isn't there. To start the recovery process, from the files menu, write a C to create a new file. Name the file anything you want. The file's name is irrelevant to the Braille Light. Just naming it the same name as the deleted file won't recover it. Go ahead and answer the usual prompts for creating a new file. You should now be in an empty open file. From the Files menu, write an FOR sign, .123456. At the prompt, write a Y. You should recover the file, although you may have extraneous text to delete at its end. These are tricky maneuvers, but they may save important data for you. We suggest that you practice this procedure with a junk file before attempting it with real data. Braille translation question. 1. I am using the Braille Light as a speech synthesizer. When I hit a key on my PC, I get the grade 2 equivalent, like D for D, can for C, etc. Speech box mode uses the clipboard as a buffer. Go into the clipboard and flip off the translator. 2. I am trying to use the Braille Light calendar alert feature. I pasted the date correctly, but I still don't hear the alert when I turn on the unit. If you entered the date in computer Braille, the translator in the calendar file must be off. If you pasted the date in grade 1 Braille, the translator must remain on in the calendar file. See whether the date is written in computer Braille or grade 1 Braille, and then make sure the translator is set to match. Also, see whether calendar check is on from the status menu. Braille display question. 1. My Braille display is vibrating on and off. Why? The charge on the Braille Light's built-in battery could be low. If a warm reset does not fix the problem, use the AC adapter to plug in the Braille Light and give it back some energy. You should probably go ahead and let it recharge anyway, but as long as you leave it plugged into an outlet, you should be able to use it without any problems. 2. A dot on my display does not come up, and I'm having a hard time reading text accurately as a result. The dot could have dirt clogged in it. It's important that you keep the Braille display as free from dirt as possible, and certainly food is off limits around the Braille display. You'd be surprised how easily a tiny speck of the powdered sugar from that Bavarian cream-filled donut you had for breakfast can get caught in the display. You may not notice anything special at first, but over time, if you're not careful, dots will start acting finicky. Call us if this happens, because you'll probably have to return the unit to us for repair. RAM and flash question. 1. Can I load a file directly into flash memory? No. All files you transfer to your unit from another device must first come into the RAM portion of the machine. Then you can move them into flash if you want. From the Files menu, while in All Files mode, use the GH sign cord command. While in Folder mode, use the GH sign cord to move a single file, or the GH sign to move a group of files. 2. When I go through my files list from within the Files menu, I don't hear the numbers of the files I have stored in flash. How are files numbered when they're stored in flash? Due to the nature of flash memory, the files stored in flash get shuffled around quite a bit. For technical reasons, we decided to save you the confusion this might cause by not announcing their numbers. The lowest numbered file in flash will always be 128, since the RAM portion of your unit's memory can contain up to 127 files. Since the order in which files in flash are listed changes every time you delete a file or even when you read one, You'll find it easier to locate a file in Flash either by using the O command from the file's menu and actually typing the file's name and pressing an E chord to open it, or if you can't remember the file's exact name, you can always search your file's list with .4 chords and .1 chords, or .6 chords and .3 chords, and then press an O chord once you hear its name spoken. Hey, I'm trying to move a small file into Flash, but I get an error message that there isn't enough room in Flash to fit the file. Yet, when I check the number of bytes 3 in my unit from the file's menu using the F command, there appears to be plenty of room to accept the file I want to move into Flash. One possible solution is to juggle some files around a bit. First, move the largest file currently stored in Flash temporarily into RAM. Then move your small file into Flash. Then return the large file you just moved into RAM back into Flash. This procedure should shift things around enough so that your file fits into an available chunk of Flash memory. Example. You have a file that's about 10K in size called Little that you want to store in Flash. When you check free space in your unit from the file's menu with an F, you hear that you have 2000K in Flash. But when you try to move Little into Flash, it doesn't fit. The largest file you currently have in Flash is 70K and is called Large. Move it into RAM temporarily using the GHSign chord command. Make sure you're in all files mode first. Now, move your Little file into Flash using the same GHSign chord command. This time it fits it fine. At this point, you should also be able to return the Large file you just temporarily moved into RAM back into Flash. The reason this problem occurs is rather technical. What appears to be reported as enough free memory in Flash may not be completely accessible at the time you're trying to move a file into Flash, because the free space must be in contiguous 64K chunks in order to be accessible. Juggling files around usually solves the problem. 4. I just moved a big file from Flash into RAM, and yet the unit still reports I have the same amount of Flash memory now as I did before moving this big file out of Flash. At the time of this writing, there is no defrag facility in your unit. Those familiar with this housekeeping utility in the MS-DOS environment will understand the term. One possible workaround might be to move a file bigger than 64K in size out of Flash to free up a contiguous 64K chunk of memory. 5. I have an extra language program and want to store it in Flash for later retrieval into RAM so I can update my unit to use that language. But when I try to move the program file into Flash, I'm told it can't be done. At the time of this writing, you cannot move a file larger than 128K in size into Flash. You can, however, move a text file that is larger than 128K, and you can move the spell checker into Flash. In fact, the spell checker is the only program you can run from within Flash at this time. Miscellaneous testing. 1. The O chord K command gives the wrong answer. The calculation must be on a line by itself, with no other text. You must write it in computer braille, using dropped numbers and correct operator symbols, as though you were in the calculator. The braille light must be in line reading mode, not window or sentence mode. 2. I started to issue a command, like insert text or find text or a macro, but want to cancel the process. Abort with a Z chord. This command aborts almost any procedure. If, for example, you issue the insert command and change your mind, a Z-chord prevents unintended insertion of caps. In addition, a Z-chord aborts the transmission of data and releases the handshake line in the event of a handshake hangup. If you issue a Z-chord from within the help file, you leave help and return to the file in which you were last working. Hmm. I don't hear anything when I press a backspace Z-chord. You might have duplex set to full or none. Go into the status menu or the parameters menu and change it to half. 4. The file names on the disk in my PC or my disk drive are not the same as the names of the files that I transmitted from my Braille light. You must use MS-DOS file naming conventions when naming Braille light files that you plan to send to a PC or to the external disk drive. We discussed this subject fully in Chapter 4. Briefly, the name of a file consists of a file name and extension separated by a period. The file name portion may contain up to 8 characters, and the extension up to 3 characters. You may not use spaces or wildcard characters, the asterisk and question mark, in a file name. You do not have to use extensions, but most MS-DOS files have them, especially program files. Suppose you have a file in your Braille light called phone book. Narrator's note, phone book is spelled P-H-O-N-E space B-O-O-K. You can stop. When you send it to the PC, it truncates to phone boo, because DOS sees only the first 8 characters and eliminates the space character. Narrator's note, phone boo is spelled P-H-O-N-E-B-O-O, no spaces. You can stop. So when you look for the file on the PC, written as your Braille light knows it, you won't find it. It is there, but it's called phone boo, not phone book. 5. How and when can I use wildcard characters in file names? You can use wildcard characters, the asterisk and the question mark, as part of file names and their extensions from the files menu during most commands that prompt you to enter file names, deleting files, marking or unmarking files, getting file information, for example. The marking and unmarking process is available only in transmission of files with the Y modem or Kermit modem protocol. These transmission options are available for the disk drive, section 14.4.1, as well as for the serial port, section 15.5, with the T-chord command from the files menu. The asterisk and the question mark must be entered in computer Braille notation. Dots 16 for the asterisk, dots 1456 for the question mark. The disk replaces either the file name or the extension portion of the name of a file. The question mark replaces individual characters in either the file name or extension portion of the name of a file. Also remember that the period must also be in computer Braille, dots 46. See Appendix D for a complete listing of computer Braille equivalents to the ASCII character set. Here are 2 examples. Suppose you have 5 files in your Braille light named Notes 1, Notes 2, etc., and you want to work with them as a group. At the Enter File Name prompt, you may write Notes, followed by a question mark, followed by an E-chord. All files that start with the letters N-O-T-E-S are affected. Now suppose you have several files that all have the extension .brl. At the Enter File Name prompt, you may write *.brl, and then an E-chord. All files having the .brl extension are affected. Of course, you may use the question mark more than once to affect groups of files where only some of the characters are the same, and still use the asterisk for the file name or extension portion. For example, say you have a bunch of files where the file name portions are all different, but whose extensions all start with, say, B, and have different ending characters. Let's say the extensions of these files represent Braille files for different states, and you're using the two-letter abbreviation for the state. Your files have names like customer.bme, vendor.bny, dealers.bsl. You can use the wildcard name *.b? ?? to refer to this group of files. 6. I can't kill a file on my disk drive. When asked for the directory of files, the symbol <dir> appears after the file I can't erase. Why? It is not a file, it is a directory. While we won't get into a lengthy discussion of MS-DOS commands and their meanings here, we'll try to clarify the difference between a file and a directory. A file contains data you can access, for example, a letter, a spreadsheet, or a program you can run, a word processor or a database program, for example. A directory is a grouping of files. It may contain only data files or program files or both. While the grouping of files in a directory is somewhat arbitrary, most people tend to group their program files in different directories than their data files. When program files and data files are related in some way, for example, the program files generate the data file, then the tendency is to group the data files generated by those particular program files in directories that are part of the directory that contains the program files. These are called subdirectories. Another way to picture it is this. Your disk is like a filing cabinet with drawers, directories, that contain folders, subdirectories. The folders contain envelopes, files. In most cases, floppy disks aren't divided for you into directories and subdirectories. But depending on the complexity of the program and data, files, on a disk, a person who is particular about keeping program files distinct from data files may create directories on a floppy disk. It's always a good idea to look closely at the contents of a disk when you first receive it. Who knows? Its contents might surprise you. But now you know how to figure it out. 7. My Braille-like voice sounds very flat, and it's not pausing smoothly at commas and periods when I read through my files. Somehow your voice inflection settings got turned off. Bring up the status menu with an ST sign chord and write an I. Then write a Y to turn on voice inflection. Exit the status menu with an E chord. From now on, your Braille light should talk normally again. 8. I'm seeing prompts and messages on my Braille display all in computer Braille instead of grade 1 Braille. Somehow, your grade 1 message setting got turned off. Bring up the status menu with an ST sign chord and press a G chord to jump to the setting. Write a Y to turn it on. Exit the status menu with an E chord. From now on, any messages or prompts the Braille light displays should appear in grade 1 Braille.